we read a few of these verses in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to get straight to the point tonight because I don't know if how many of you were here last week and heard our visiting speaker talk about the home that he operates for young men, and he talked about that feeling of working with people that said they felt worthless, and telling them that they were not worthless, that they had potential, and that God loved them, that he was showing his, he was showing godly love toward them. And I was thinking about that all this week. I did get, convicted about it because I thought about choices that I made in my own life and how, there's a process that you go through. You set priorities in life of what needs to be done. And one of the verses I'm going to read tonight, what needs to be accomplished and what's important and what's not. And I think those verses that we just read, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. And I think that's what he talked about last week. And to be honest, I got convicted by the stories that he told and the testimony that he had. And I thought back on, I'm sure many of you thought back on times in your life when someone came to you and said, you're not the way you feel. You're not worthless. You have worth because God says you have worth. God says you have eternal. You have eternal worth. You have something that you can do that will last for all eternity. And you have a will from an eternal God that God wants you to be a part of. And part of that is laying up treasure in heaven. We talk a lot about the crowns. We want to cast at Jesus' feet. Everything that we do should be to honor God. But we get, life happens during all that time. Things come up and we get distracted. And so that, again, I always say, I'm preaching to myself. I don't know. I don't like being convicted, but I like responding to conviction. Nobody likes to be corrected. Our human nature is to say, I'm good. We all respond and say, well, I'm not as bad as somebody else, but I like going through that process of being convicted and saying, I am putting my treasure in the wrong place. I'm reading the Bible the wrong way. I want to read to you some verses that most of the time, if anybody reads them, we usually react and say, well, that's not for me. But I want to read the next chapter there, Matthew 7, not the whole chapter, but it says in Matthew chapter 7, I want you to read this passage not as the victim. Too many times we read the Bible and we say, well, I'm going to use this verse to defend myself in what I already think. So I'll read this verse. It says, judge not that you be not judged. And most of us read that and skip over the whole rest of the chapter. We just pull that one thing out and say, don't talk about me. I'm good the way I am. But read it as somebody that wants to help somebody else. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And here's what I want you to think about. This person in the next verse has found a problem that they want to fix. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And again, I would usually read this passage and say, well, you got a big problem and a little problem, and the guy with the big problem is a hypocrite because he's picking on the guy with a little problem. But we look at sin that way sometimes. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. You have two people with a problem in their life, and one guy wants to help the other one, but he's a hypocrite because he has a problem in his own life. And Jesus, again, all these words are read, Jesus said, you need to help that guy, because at the end he says, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And I was thinking about this passage last week when Frank was talking, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he was talking about helping other people. And I thought, so many times as Christians, we get to where we want to help, but we say, well, if I try to help them, somebody's going to start looking at me. And somebody's going to say, I'm not worthy to help because of things in my own life. But the solution is right there. It says, if you feel like a hypocrite, if you are a hypocrite, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And it gives us instruction. And too many times we read the Bible as prohibitive and See? And we point at it and say, well, now that I've proven my point, we can go back to doing nothing. You know, now that I've proven that you shouldn't judge me, I'm going to keep my problem, you're going to keep yours, and I hope you learned your lesson, don't judge me again. But that's not what even what the passage says. It says you have two guys with a problem, and you have a solution. The verse I read from my text, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It talks about the things that make us excited. You know, when I was a little kid, they would have a treasure map. An archaeologist or a pirate would get the map, and there'd be an X on the map, and they would take all of their energy and all of their money and all their manpower and will and whatever it might be, obsession. You know, that would be the goal of their life, to get that treasure. And I thought about that for us as Christians. What are we obsessed about? What are we consumed with? And many times we are consumed with something that's not going to last. We're consumed, we're obsessed with something that's not going to matter in a couple months, not going to matter in a couple years. I know it's still January. Think about that thing that you were really excited about doing on January 1st, your New Year's resolution. Now, tell me how's it going? You know, it's been 21 days, 22 days. How's that obsession going? How's that decision going? And too many times we say, this is where I'm going to put my passion today. It won't be there tomorrow. It won't be there next week. But this is where I'm going to spend all of my energy today. I believe, and I have learned through the examples that God has put in my life, that we are only given so much love, energy, and time to give our attention to. I learned this from my parents. I've grown in my love for my father because I have observed him. I have observed him when he's going through a tough time. I have observed him when he's trying to clean up a mess that I have made, or he's trying to help, and I have observed his ability to use his energies in the right way. He measures his words. He takes time to think before he talks. And I learned that when my mother was alive. I learned that from her. She had emotion. She reacted, but she kind of kept it in measured doses. She would save it for when it really mattered. And these are examples that I need in my own life now that I have my own kids. And I am reminded again that there's a difference between using your energy for something that doesn't last, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and using the energy and the time that God has given you to lay up treasure in heaven. There are things that are worthwhile in life. Jesus talked about it when he was correcting the Pharisees. He corrected the Pharisees in Matthew 23, and he was calling them, that word again, hypocrites. But again, he gave them instruction. He didn't just stop at calling them hypocrites. He said that they had tithed of all the spices in their spice cabinet, but they had omitted the weightier matters of the law. And this is what Jesus said. He said, you should have done what you did, but you shouldn't have left the other things undone. The weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And again, I thought about this in my own life. I thought about this as Frank was talking last week, that the things that we have to get done every week. My wife and I have been in a battle for the last few months. We always have we have strong conversations about chores in the house. Who's responsible for what? So I found, you know how they say there's an app for everything. I found an app on the smartphone where I can make a list of all the chores, and then we put our names and our faces, kind of like Facebook, but you don't check in, you just check off the chores that you do. And so we've been in this battle of, well, what did you do? When did you do it? Did you get it checked off? And then they roll back around again, and then you got to do them all again. And I thought about that when in this verse when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. You checked off your list. You got everything checked off the list, except you forgot to put the important things on the list. You know, so if I check off all my chores, but I don't talk to her or tell her I love her or know where my kids are, you know, there are important things, and then there are the important things that last in life. The things that I'm going to remember in 10 years are not whether I got the trash out on time every week, but I might need to, you know, talk to my wife and kids every now and then. And that attitude that we get about a lot of things in life. We say, well, I checked everything off the list. Well, whose list are you going off of? And do you have the good things on there? If we want to do something worthwhile and important that's going to last, if we want to lay up treasure in heaven, we have to make those priorities in life. And again, Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you got the outside clean, you got the outside looking good, but inside you're a gravestone. You're full of dead men's bones, and you appear beautiful outward, but the inside is full of uncleanness. And again, God looks on the heart, and God sees us. He knows what we really are, and we don't have to stay that way. If you have been judgmental of people singing in the past, you don't have to stay that way. If you have been a hypocrite in the past, you don't have to stay that way. And God gives us the answer. He says, change the way you're behaving. Change your priorities. Change where you are laying up treasure. You might have wasted some of the time and energy and wealth that God has given you, but you don't have to keep making the same mistakes. You don't have to keep making the same bad priorities, the same bad decisions. And again, I hope you have examples of people in your life, like I just mentioned, my mom and my dad, other people, other leaders in the church, a godly friend, one of the testimonies tonight, a godly friend that you can say, you know what, if they give me the advice, I think God sent them. And I like what you said in your testimony. God had to send the answer to your prayer before you prayed it, because it had to be on the way before you asked for it. And again, the Bible tells us that we need to ask, and we need to seek, and we need to knock. And God already has answers prepared for us, but he wants us to ask for them. And I'm challenged by this. I'm challenged by what we do with the treasure that God has given us. Because we have something to lay up, either on here or on earth or in heaven, and it's up to us what we do with it. In Philippians, I think we're going to cover this in Sunday school in a few weeks. It says, whatsoever things are honest and just and pure and of lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And again, if we're going to do something good for God and something that lasts, it's going to be on purpose. It's going to be worthwhile, because we're going to have to do it as we follow godly examples. Paul said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So as you're checking off your checklist or following the examples that God has left you, make sure that it lines up with what God's word says. We should be thankful and rejoice for what God has given us. We should trust God to provide for us. And we should pray, as was mentioned tonight, we should pray because God has already prepared the answer for us. It's sometimes the way we operate is so foreign to what God tells us to do. Again, God gave us his word so we could respond and change what needs to be changed. In Psalms 119, the psalmist wrote, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. The psalmist there realized that God knew everything about him, and he still took the time 7 times a day to praise God, even though God knew his heart, even though God knew what he was thankful for, and even though God knew the whole testimony of his whole life, he still took the time to be thankful to God. And I think about that for us as Christians. If we did everything the Bible commands us to do, how much time would we have left for sin? How much time would we have left for our own opinions and our own grumbling? If we actually did what God just asked us to do on a daily basis, if we checked off everything that God had on his list, how much time would we have to make our own? If we took God's priorities and praised him and was thankful to him and tried our best to apply God's word to our life, how much time would we have left to get in trouble? Again, I always think about this, you know, when you're a teenager. I remember my friends when I was a teenager that would get in all kinds of trouble. And a lot of times, the things that they got in trouble for, I would wonder, like, when did they have time? Like, how did they find all the time to do these things that they're getting in trouble for right now? And then I would think about the way that my mom and dad had structured my life. I was too tired to have time to get in trouble because I was, you know, I was always at church or working, or we were going somewhere to get something ready to be somewhere else. I didn't have the energy to get in trouble, and I didn't know where these people found the time to do it. And again, that was because of the influence that God had put in my life. I think a lot of the passion that people, you know, people get hung up on drugs or lust, you know, lust of the eyes, pride, and they take all these things and they're using passion, but they're using it on the wrong thing. They're getting obsessed with things of the world and time is passing, and their energies are passing, but nothing's being accomplished because they're using that the abilities that God has given them to get into sin, to get into trouble. The Bible tells us that we have a responsibility to lay up treasure in heaven. The Bible tells us, as was talked about last week, that we have a responsibility to not only fulfill the will of God for our own life, but to help somebody else get there as well. To tell somebody else they're not worthless, that they have a potential, that they have a use for God to use them. And if we're self-obsessed, you know, if everything in our life is a reaction to somebody else and how they have hurt us and how they have judged us and how we've become a victim, we don't leave time to help other people. Again, I'm still in the couple chapters of the first few chapters of Matthew when Jesus talked about when we pray, you know, the Lord's Prayer. When we pray, go into your closet. When you give alms to help other people, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And the way that we pray in secret, the way that we help other people, if we just did the things that God says, this is what I want you to do today, we wouldn't have the opportunity to offend. We wouldn't have the opportunity to get offended because we would be doing what God has left us here to do. Too many times we take that energy and we waste it. And Peter was talking to pastors, and again, this is a conviction to me. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you, in 1 Peter 5, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Work for the crown that does not fade. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I've mentioned examples in my life. I've mentioned my parents. I've mentioned people that have stood out to me as a conviction. You know, they have their actions and their words have convicted me. And I thought about what I just read. I thought about those verses where it said, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And if I really want to lay up treasure for heaven, if I want to lay up for myself treasure in heaven, then I'm going to humble myself. And I think about the times in my own life, and hopefully you can think of some times in your life where you were humble and God used you. Can't explain it. Can't say why it happened. Can't say why you were worthy, but you humbled yourself unto God. And God, the mighty hand of God, exalted you and used you. And those times in our life when we take all the cares of the world and say, "I'm gonna handle them. I'm gonna handle it on my own. I'm gonna, in my own pride, in my own response, I'm gonna take care of it." And we don't humble ourselves to God. God says, "I'm waiting to use you. I've already sent the answer that you're supposed to be praying for. I'm waiting to exalt you and give you a chance to lay up treasure in heaven, but." Your pride is keeping you from asking. Your pride is keeping you from seeking. Your pride is keeping you from knocking. And the Bible tells us that the treasure in heaven does not corrupt. Most everything here on earth, those of us that are, you know, trying to recycle and be proactive, it's all going to burn anyway. I think we had a missionary one time come, and he was talking about, you know, all the newest gadgets and everything, and he said it's all going to burn. It's not going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is what we lay up for ourselves in heaven. And we don't lay it up for ourselves. We lay it up for the glory of God. I was thinking about that song we talked about in Sunday school a little bit, Jesus, Others, and You, the right order, the right priorities. But the song says, Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. And Jesus was our example, and he was our example so we could be an example to someone else. If we're going to do something worthwhile, we need to set the right priorities. If we're going to do something worthwhile and lay up treasure in heaven, we need to start right and start now. And if we're going to help our brother or help our sister remove that thing that it's so offensive, we need to start with the things in our own life. And every now and then it's all right to get convicted. Every now and then it's all right to say, you know what, I still want to be useful, so I need to get the beam out of my eye so I can help get the mote out of my brother's eye. They both need to be removed so that God's will can be done, so we can lay up treasure in heaven. We're going to have a word of prayer. My prayer is that we could be useful as a church, that God has a will for us to do, and that we could find it and do it and help somebody else find God's will for them. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone that's here tonight, Lord. I pray that you would receive the passion and the energy that you have given to us, that we'd turn it around and use it to help somebody else, that we'd use it in your name, that we would obey you, that we would trust you with the measure of grace that you've given to each one of us, that we'd use it for somebody else. Lord, thank you for trusting us with the gospel to give it to those that need us. Thank you for trusting us with the message of your word. I pray that it would never return void, that, Lord, if there's someone here tonight that is not sure of heaven, that doesn't know that Jesus as stands ready to be their Savior, that they'd respond to the word of God. They know they're a sinner. They know there's a penalty for that sin, but that Jesus died so we would not have to pay that penalty. He paid it for us. Thank you for that great gift that we take for granted too often. Help us to put our time and our effort and our energy and our enthusiasm into telling somebody else. Bless our time tonight. I pray you bless this invitation. If there's something in the testimonies, in the message, something that you convicted us about today, help us just not have a pang of guilt and conviction, but help us to respond and say, I don't have to stay the way I was. I can change it with God's help. I can do that. I pray you bless us tonight. Bless this invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.